Hi, it's Marilyn with another edition of Rockin' Around the Track. We're going to do something different this time. We're going to feature one artist, Miss Brenda Lee. Brenda started out as a rock artist. Later on in her career, she'd always been a little bit tended toward crossover because being from Nashville, it just came natural. And later on, she turned more to a country career. We're going to have an interview with her, a 25-minute interview. Yep, that's a lot of time. But it comes from Emery's Memories, a series that Ralph Emery did. He is a country DJ personality, TV personality, ran Nashville Now for several years, and interviewed Brenda when her career had certainly peaked for the most part, but she was still working hard, as I suppose she still is. I read a book early on about Brenda Lee. This was before a lot of her later hits. And the writer said Brenda's career never blossomed the way it could have because she wasn't ripe for the screen image of a rock star. She was a little short and a little chunky and wanted to keep her life the way it was. Didn't want all the hoopla that Hollywood and New York had to offer. I applaud her for that. Maybe the money wasn't as big back then, and certainly the opportunities weren't quite as glamorous. But Brenda was always one of my favorites, and I hope she is one of yours. I'm going to selfishly pick some of my favorites by Brenda for a showcase before we do her interview. On side two, Dennis Miller will do a special program for you that he's worked out. Don't forget, you can return this tape with messages about what you might like to see in Rockin' Around the Track or with questions. We don't do internationals. We're only U.S., and we will have another issue out in June, I assume. I'm going to have hip surgery in April, so I'll be out of pocket for a little while. If you want to keep this edition, just stick a dollar or a brand new 90 or 92, preferably, in the box, and we're good to go. I'm going to play Sweet Nothings, because that's the song that brung her, as they say. Fool Number One, Johnny One Time, I'm Sorry. That's not one of my favorites, but it was one of her bigger hits, so I think I need to play it. And The Cowboy and the Lady. If I have room at the end of the article, I'll play Big Four Poster Bed. There's a lot of songs by her that I could play, but time will only allow so many. By the way, if anybody has the song Don't Go Getting Any Wrong Ideas, please let me know if I can get it from you in some way. We cannot find that song. Don't forget, the phone number is 773-572-7744 to leave me a message. You guys take care, have a wonderful spring, and we'll see you later.
Uh-huh, honey. All right. My baby whispers in my ear, sweet nothing. He knows the things I like to hear, sweet nothing. Things he wouldn't tell nobody else. Secret, baby, I keep him to myself. Sweet nothing. We walk along hand in hand. Sweet nothing. Yeah, we both understand. Sweet nothing. Sitting in class or trying to read my book, my baby give me that special look. Sweet nothing. Sweet nothing.
and daughter, that's enough for tonight. Sweet nothing, sweet nothing, sweet nothing, sweet nothing, sweet nothing.
Am I fool number one, or am I fool number two? How many other girls have been fooled by you? I suppose that the number is far from being small, and I'll bet that I'm the biggest fool of all. If I had the chance, I guess I'd do it all again. I'd go down that same old road, even knowing at the end you'd leave me when your heart hears a new love call. So I guess that I'm the biggest fool of all. Am I fool number one, or am I fool number two? How many other girls have been fooled by you? I suppose that the number is far from being small, and I guess that I'm the biggest fool of all.
So he told you that you're the dream that he's been searching for, and he told you that he'd never met anyone like you before. And I can hear him telling you your lips taste just like cherry wine. But did he tell you that he's known as Johnny One Time? Did he tell you that your heart will soon become another trinket on his bracelet of broken hearts? Did he tell you that the morning sun will find you patching up your shattered pride and searching for the missing parts? Did he tell you that the special love you're saving will disappear in flames, shame like mine? Did he tell you that he's known as Johnny One Time? So he told you that he'd never leave your heart astray, and he told you that he'd love you forever and a day. And I can hear him telling you that he's the shy and bashful kind. But did he tell you that he's known as Johnny One Time?
Oh, did he tell you that your heart would soon become another trinket on his bracelet of broken hearts? And did he tell you that the morning sun will find you patching up your shattered pride and searching for the missing parts? Did he tell you that the special love you're saving will disappear in flames, shaped like mine? Oh, did it tell you that he's known as Johnny One Time? Did he tell you that your heart will soon become another trinket on his bracelet of broken hearts? Did he tell you that the morning sun will find you patching up your shattered pride and searching for the missing parts? Oh, did he tell you that the special love you're saving will disappear in flames, a shame like mine? Did he tell you that he's known?
I'm sorry, so sorry, that I was such a fool. I didn't know love could be so cruel. Oh, 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 oh yes, you tell me part of being young, but I don't right the wrong that's been done.
I'm sorry,
I'm sorry,
so sorry,
so sorry. Please accept my apology, but love is blind, and I was too blind to see.
Oh, 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 oh yes, you tell me mistakes. I'm sorry, so sorry. Please accept my apology. But love was blind, and I was too blind to see.
In the airport lounge he sat with his cane and derby hat, the grandest man that I had ever seen. Outside the heavy rains had pounded all the panes, so I asked him if he'd like some company. In my rhinestone studded suit and my cowgirl high-heeled boots, yes, I was a sight for him to see. But he said, pull up a chair as I fumble with my hair. I'm more unlike the pair you'll never see. smoking David White. He was shabbily 59. There we sat, the cowgirl and the dandy. He was Steve's arts in Aspen and summers in Paris. I was country music Nashville, Tennessee. The cowgirl and the dandy, as different as can be. But it seemed so bright that rainy night in Tennessee. Then somewhere in between, his heart is crystal clean. And the beers that I kept sipping at the table, we somehow came together for a night of stormy weather. Now there's a little bit of class in this old cowgirl, and there's a little bit of country in the dandy. I was moping days wild. He was suddenly 59. But there we lay, the cowgirl and the dandy. He was here, resorts in Aspen and summers in Paris. I was country music, Nashville, Tennessee. He was here, resorts in Aspen and summers in Paris. I was country music, Nashville, Tennessee.
Again with you, Alf. I can't believe it.
How are you?
I'm great.
I welcome you back.
Thank you.
Brenda and I really have a lot of fun together. So this will be a fun session for me.
Why, sure.
Talking to the red-headed Brenda. Is that your real color?
This week. This week it is. Next week it could be anything.
How often do you change it?
Oh, not too often.
You've been red-headed for a long time.
A long time. I'm actually real auburn. You know, a darker auburn.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that I wanted to be frosted one time, and I went and got it done, and the darn stuff never would go back to its original color. Sometimes it's orange, sometimes it's copper, sometimes it's red, and sometimes it just really looks bad.
Mm.
But it's in the red family.
Did you ever try to have it blondined?
Yeah, I did that, but it fell out, so I had to. It did. I had
your
it.
Hair fell out?
Yeah, I had it blonded on the front and the sides. I thought it was really cool, but, you know, it started falling out, so I don't have that much to lose, so I had to get rid of that.
Well, you have a good, healthy hair.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's all right.
It looks thick.
It's not, but it's, you know, it's all I got, Ralph.
Brenda, why are you wearing a Minnesota Twins, what is that, a jersey or?
It's like a t-shirt. Well, it's not, I guess it's not the same material as a t-shirt. I don't know what
it looks like what the ball players wear.
It is. It's a ball player's t-shirt. A friend of mine is the manager, and whenever we play, played in Minnesota, Hank Crump, he manages them when they go to spring training and all. And we played Minnesota recently, and he came and gave me an autographed baseball by all the players and a shirt and a raincoat jacket type thing. And
did you play in the ballpark?
No. Played the big Civic Center with the Statler brothers.
Are you a Minnesota Twins fan?
Sure, I watch it.
Or are you a free T-shirt fan?
Well, both. I mean, I'm a basketball nut. I'm not into much else except basketball, but I love baseball.
Do you understand the game of baseball?
Yeah, my mom and dad.
Four balls and you walk and three strikes and you're out and that sort of thing?
Yeah, my mom and dad used to be quite... Well, my dad was a baseball player.
Really?
In his spare time. He never went professional. He always wanted to. He was a southpaw pitcher.
You know, in our series of interviews we have done over the years, you've never told me much about your dad.
No. Well, I was awful young when he died. He was great. He taught me my first song, Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I used to sing it when he'd play baseball.
Did he pitch in semi-pro?
Yeah, and he was the pitcher. He was in the service at Schofield Barracks in Hawaii, won a lot of trophies, and they're over there in their museum. And I think he always really wanted to go pro, but he really never did. He came from a family of 10 kids, one sister, and they're all professors and into education and all that kind of stuff. And my dad was a carpenter and never knew how to drive, died when he was 44, very young. But he used to play in his spare time, used to play baseball.
What was his name?
Reuben Lindsay Tarpley.
And that's your real name, Tarpley.
That's
your,
my real
your
name.
Maiden name,
mm-hmm.
I mean. Well, that's interesting. I didn't realize you had a father who was in baseball.
Yeah, he loved it.
So I imagine you learned a lot about baseball from
I did.
Just listening to him.
He was a Yankees fan, and my mom was a Dodgers fan.
Oh, boy, what a...
I know.
What a contrast.
It was arguments all the time when they played. Lordy mercy.
See, I'm a Dodger fan.
Boy, my mom was, but my
and
dad
I
was.
Can't stand these Yankee fans. Boy, I'm in trouble here, too.
No, you'll get letters.
Yeah, if you're a Dodger fan, you can't be for the Yankees.
That's right.
And if you're a Yankee fan, you can't be for the Dodgers.
Exactly.
Surely, Brenda, you can tell me something about Harold or Don or Phil or Lou. Since you have been working on the road with them so much.
Well,
the Statler brothers.
They are great guys to start with. Lou, I've become really close to. He's a funny type guy. He really is. Harold, of course, is a nut. Phil is, I shouldn't say the nicest, because I don't mean it that way. But he's, like, completely different than the rest of them.
He's certainly the quietest, isn't he?
He's the quietest, yeah, but just great.
How about Donnie?
Donnie's a lot of fun. He kind of keeps to himself, though, but they're all great, and they've been great to me.
Now, you have been working with their show for the most part of 1981, haven't you?
Yeah, I started with them last October of 80, and I've been with them so far.
All right, and you will go back on the road with them when?
In August. We just finished up, and they don't work in July except the July the 4th thing, which is in Stanton,
mm-hmm.
which they do every year.
Is working with the Statler brothers, how do you accomplish that? Are you the opening act?
There's a comedian, Lee Landre, then I go on, then there's an intermission, and then the Statlers come on.
You ever sing with them?
No, not on the show.
Okay.
I'd like to. I don't know if we could ever work that in or not.
You sing with them backstage?
Oh, yeah. Lou and I get together and we sing and play and do that.
Well, they are super.
They really are.
You know something that I meant to talk about the last time we were on the show together, and it slipped my mind. And I suppose it falls into the crazy things you do, the category. That's when you appeared with Captain Kangaroo.
Oh, yeah, I did do that.
On his CBS television show.
Uh-huh. We filmed it at Opryland.
What did you do with Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Green Jeans and people like that?
Well, we competed against each other in various athletic events, which you know I'm so good at anyway. Fresh air makes me sick, so you know how well I did. I really did quite good, though. There were crazy things, you know, like who could get the most custard pies up that little inner tube mountain-like thing they got at Opryland, and it was blazing hot that day.
What do you mean, get a custard pie up it?
Well, you had to take these custard pies up and leave them and run back down and get some more and run up. But the only problem was that darn tarpaulin thing was like red hot, and I had blisters on my feet, and pies were everywhere, and you would slide down. It was kind of hard to get up there, but I won that. I did real good.
Did you show ducks and little animals on television?
No, we weren't into the duckies or the little animals. We were into whipped cream and pies, and we did those, like that thing with all the balls in it.
Yes.
You know, we had to carry a ball on our nose across and back, and it was weird.
Sounds like party games.
It was. It was really fun.
What is Captain Kangaroo's real name?
Now, if you hadn't asked me, his name is Bob. I'll think of it while
Bob
we
what?
Do the next
Keeshan.
One. Bob Keeshan.
Okay.
Right.
My guest is Brenda Lee. I was going through a new album the other day by the Chipmunks, who have an album called Urban Chipmunk.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was an album featuring only the Chipmunks, Alvin, Theodore, and Simon. And lo and behold, I came across a record they had made with Brenda Lee. As a matter of fact, Brenda, they made one with you and with Jerry Reed.
Right.
Anyway, you recorded Made for Each Other with
mm-hmm.
it. Hey, and what I love about this is the beautiful harmony they put in behind you. I think it's
Isn't
great.
Isn't it lovely?
How do you make a record with the Chipmunks?
Well, I agreed to do it, first of all, because I thought, you know, possibly if the song really did really well and we did some TV shots or maybe, you know, perhaps some personal appearances together, Alvin is just my height. Just my size. And I thought, boy, I'm serious, this will really be neat. So when Larry Butler called to ask me to do it, Larry produced it, I was really thrilled. So my producer, Ron Chancy, and I went over and we did the song. And Alvin and Simon and Theodore were there.
Mm.
It's wonderful. But just great. I loved it.
Well, they obviously were big fans of yours.
Well, I'm a big fan from the 60s of the Chipmunks, you know. I really am. I've got their albums from the 60s.
I know Ross Bagisarian used to produce them, and then he died.
Yes, and his son does now.
And his son is the one that says Alvin
mm-hmm.
and scolds Alvin.
That's right.
Well, you should be very flattered that they...
Oh, I was. I was just really thrilled.
Where did the song come from, Made for Each Other?
Larry Butler wrote it. They wanted a song. They said Ross and his wife. I think they co-wrote it. And... Larry wrote the tune, and they wrote the words,
mm-hmm.
and that's where it came from.
How long does it take to make a record with the Chipmunks?
It took me about, my part on it, several hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time they put it together, because we did it in sections,
mm-hmm.
so it wasn't too long.
Did you get to believing in the little Chipmunks?
I did.
I mean, I really don't know where Brenda's career is going. She appears on Captain Kangaroo.
I don't know how to take
Captain Kangaroo, and she does records with the Chipmunks.
Well,
you ever worked with Miss Piggy and that bunch?
No, I used to be Miss Piggy until I dieted a whole lot. No, I haven't, but I would like to work with the Muppets. I really would.
I figured they'll be next.
Well, why not? I mean, you know, everybody's doing duets, and Alvin seems to think, you know, that we could be so different that perhaps we could hit with this.
Brenda, before I leave the Chipmunks, you've got to describe for me how they make those records.
How they do it?
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know if I can technically to make it. You might know what I'm talking about. First, they cut it. And they, wait a minute, do they speed it up first and then slow it down? Or they cut it at 15 or something and then go to 30? Is
okay,
that what, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. They cut it, though, at normal speed.
Right, right.
And then they speed the tape up.
Yeah, they speed their part of the tape
up. Okay, who actually provides the voices of the Chipmunks?
Well, I think Ross and his wife
Ross.
Do two of them.
Okay.
And the ones that we did here in Nashville, either Berg and White or Buzz Kaysen was the other voice. I'm not sure. I think it was Bergen.
You first had a million seller when you were about 13, didn't
right,
you?
Right, with Sweet Nothings.
As you listen to those old records, Do you detect the baby, the teen voice?
Not in a lot of them.
I don't detect a lot of difference in your voice.
No, there's not a whole lot of difference. I would think that the only difference would be it might possibly be a little lower range-wise. With every baby I had, I dropped an octave. I mean, if I would have kept on, I could have sang bass. The Oak Ridge Boys or the Stamps or anybody. Seriously, I dropped a full key with each baby. I only had two babies.
Do you like to listen to the old records?
Some of them I do. You know, I don't make it a habit. I don't listen to them a lot. Sometimes I'll go in there and I'll listen. Some of them are funny.
Why are they funny?
Well, because, you know, which I still do some, but I used to do a lot of that hiccuping thing I used to do in some of the records.
Can you demonstrate what you're talking about?
Well, in Jambalaya, I used to, son of a gun, we had a pick up on the bio. It's like a hiccup thing.
Yeah. Would you do that on purpose?
No, I don't think I did it on purpose.
Your producer tell you to do that?
No, I just always did that, and I always growled on, you know, on a lot of things.
Your style of singing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How many records did this sell?
I'm sorry, to date has sold about 7 million.
I guess when you have a million seller, you only get one gold record, though.
You should get one for every million, but back then I only got one.
I know Johnny.
One's enough.
I do remember Johnny Horton sold 2 million copies of the Battle of New Orleans, and they gave him two gold records.
My company only gave me one, but I know that at that time, I had a date with Paul Anka, and boy, I was so thrilled. And you know where we went?
Mm.
We went to his house, and he showed me his 13 gold records for Diana. I kid you not.
He had 13 gold records for Diana. You used to make records in phonetic French, didn't you?
French, Japanese, Spanish, Portuguese, Italian, and German.
Could you ever speak any of those languages?
Spoke French fluently because I lived over there. I can't now. Japanese I can speak, and I did real good. And, of course, Spanish and Italian because they're a lot like French.
How long did you live over there?
4 months. I went to school over there.
Where'd you go to school?
I had a private tutor. Went to the American school, American branch of, you know, school over there, military. Because I was working over there. Went over for 2 weeks originally and was held over for 3 months.
When was this?
59.
You were really hot over there, weren't you? Did you have a hit in France of one of your American hits but sung in French?
Mm-hmm. The Stroll, the old Diamonds record.
All right, how about some of the other tunes, Emotions or I'm Sorry?
It was the older ones before that were hits, because I was a hit over there before I was here in the States. I used to travel to Europe.
But would you have to make the records in French for them to become hits?
No. A lot of them were hits in English, and some, after they were hits in English, they wanted me to cut them in French.
Hmm.
So I did.
You are built kind of low to the ground,
I really am, and getting lower all the time. I'm shrinking. You know, they say with age you shrink.
Well, wait a minute. What do you mean you're shrinking?
Well, I mean, I think I'm getting shorter. I swear I do. I mean, one day you'll knock on the door and there'll be a little grease spot there where I used to be. I hope it's not.
How tall are you now?
I'm supposed to be 4'9".
Uh-huh.
But I don't really think I am, and it scares me to go get measured. Because, I mean, I was depressed for years, and now I got used to being 4'9". But if I was shorter, Lord, they may have to put me away.
What do you think, you're 4'8½ now?
I don't think I'm as tall as I once was. My clothes are getting longer on me or something. My britches are dragging the ground, and I swear they are, Ralph. Now quit laughing. This is serious stuff I'm talking about.
Give me your measurements.
Which ones? My measurements.
Well, you're 4'9".
Mm-hmm. I weigh about 96.
Okay.
I guess you really want to do this, huh? Have you ever asked anybody else that?
Never have, huh?
Well,
you want to continue this conversation?
I don't think I'd win any awards, Ralph, but I mean, I'm not bad. I've worked on it. It ain't done a whole lot of good, but I have worked.
At one time, you were a pudge, weren't you?
I was 45 pounds heavier than I am now. Mm-hmm.
But you lost all that weight. I think you look good.
Thank you. I feel good.
I think you look great.
I won't
ask for your measurements.
Well, I mean, I'm not ashamed of them. I just didn't know if that was, if you did those kind of things. You didn't used to do that, so I didn't know. I mean,
I'm sorry. I mean, you're obviously hedging, and I'm not.
I'm not hedging, Ralph.
I don't want to get into it. I mean, I don't.
I'm still exercising the top part, so we don't have to go into that. But now I'm 23 in the waist and 34 in the hips.
Okay.
And the other don't go with neither one of them. So that'll keep them guessing for a while.
That takes care of it.
That's right. The other day I said, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And it said, you are, sir. So that sort of gives you what I am up there. Let's see.
How many records have you made? You have any idea?
A whole bunch.
How many albums do you have?
About 40. Not counting the ones that were overseas releases.
No telling how many singles.
Yeah, no telling.
Just a bunch. Were all your records going gold back in those days?
Yeah. From 1959 to 1970, I had 32 consecutive top 10 hits.
How many consecutive gold records did you have? Did you ever figure that out?
No. It was just documented. They just told me last year that I have sold more records than any other solo female vocal artist in the history of music, with 90 million. And also
You've sold 90 million records?
Yeah. I didn't believe it either. And also I've had more double-sided hits than any other female in the history of music.
It seems to me, Brenda, that at one time in his life, if Mel Tillis tells you the story of his life, he relates the fact that he and Roger Miller, I believe, played in Minnie Pearl's band around Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following? You know mm-hmm. what I'm talking about?
I think so.
Did you ever work with Mel back in those early days?
Mm-hmm. I think I worked with just about everybody. I think the one that I worked with the earliest was Farron Young. And I did a thing at the Old Tower Theater in Atlanta, and I was about 6 years old.
Well, you know, we keep getting into this business of how young you were. All right. At what age were you when you first sang what we will call professionally?
You mean getting paid?
Yeah.
Six.
What'd you get paid?
$5.
Okay.
And then the first time I really got any big money, I was like 8, and I got paid $35, and I performed a show in Swainsboro, Georgia.
Okay, now, when did you have the first million seller? Were you 13?
Yeah.
How much were you getting paid then?
Well, I really wasn't getting anything because all my money went into the court under the Jackie Coogan law. And my mother was getting from the court, I think it was either $75 a week, I think.
What is the Jackie Coogan law?
That's a law that was passed. You know, Jackie Coogan was a child star and made millions of dollars. And when he became of age, when he became 21, he had something like, you know, several thousand dollars to his name.
You mean several million dollars?
No, 1,000 people had gone through it and spent it.
Oh, I see.
So they made a law that in different states it's different. In California, it's 25% of a miner's earnings go into the trust, and nobody can get it except the miner when they're 21.
Okay.
In Tennessee, it's 100%. So I had a legal guardian appointed by the court who watched over everything and made sure nobody was spending any money and that all the money was coming to the court.
So when you were 21, you received quite a chunk, I imagine.
Well, I really didn't receive it till I was 27.
Why?
Well, my manager, Dub Albritton, who died in 71, took care of all of that.
I see.
So I really didn't receive any money.
You had enough for groceries, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. My husband was in the grocery business, which helped a whole lot. My dad, you know, when he died, he was at home, and back then you didn't have them in funeral homes so much. You kept them at home until you had the funeral. So I could kind of really relate to that because we all slept in the same bed. My mom and dad at the top, me and my brother and sister at the bottom.
You're kidding.
No, we slept that way. We only had three rooms.
I've never met your brother and sister.
Oh, they're nice. My brother's I'm 36, so he'll be 31, and my oldest sister is 39. And then I have a younger sister, 26.
I didn't know all that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never met any of those people.
Oh, they're great. They're not in the business. They're great. My youngest sister teaches art at the University of Alabama. I sent her through school, sent my brother.
That'll be interesting. This show is heard in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, well, she's there. Doing good.
What about your older sister?
My oldest sister is in computer data processing.
Mm-hmm.
Send her through that school. My older sister's name is Linda. My brother's name is Randall. And my youngest sister's name is Robin.
Okay. Well, that's information I never had heard before.
Yeah, I got a mama, too. And a daddy. I'm really normal, Ralph.
Earlier you told me, Brenda, that you dated Paul Anka.
Well, I wouldn't call it a date, Ralph.
How old were you when you dated Paul Anka?
I think it
Anka?
Was token niceness.
Huh?
Token niceness. I was about, let's see, 14, 15. It wasn't a date.
Was this something done for the publicity of the thing?
No, we
Get
were just...
Get your picture in one of those teeny bopper magazines?
We were good friends, and it was more of a friend thing, because I think he was liking Annette then, along with every other male in the country.
Oh, Annette Funicello?
Yeah. The only one that filled out her Mickey Mouse T-shirt on TV. And I love Annette. She's a good friend of mine. But we were more friends.
Did you date a lot of the rock stars of that era?
No, I didn't date anybody.
Huh?
I didn't date anybody.
You just said you dated Paul Anka.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a date. We just went to his house. But I wasn't allowed to date, first of all, until I was 16. And then it was just double dating.
Then you, by the time you were 16, you were a giant star selling all those records.
Mm-hmm.
Were some of the guys you went out with, were they intimidated by the fact that you were such a big star?
No, because I went to school with all of them, and I didn't think of myself that way. You know, I mean, I thought it was great, and I was having a lot of fun, but I wanted to cheerlead, and I wanted to go to school, and I was just one of the kids. Rita Coolidge was my best friend.
You were a cheerleader, too, weren't
you? Mm-hmm.
Were you
the loudest one on the team.
But were you on the end because you were short?
Yeah, and I never could get, you know, the thing that hurt me the most in high school is I never could get white bucks or penny loafers small enough to fit me. And that really killed me.
You mean they don't make them in your size?
They didn't then. I don't know if they do now.
I thought all those girls wore saddle Oxfords.
Well, they did, but then they started wearing white bucks. I couldn't even wear saddle Oxfords. They didn't have any in my size either.
What size shoe do you wear?
I wear ones. But back then, I wore little bitty shoes. I mean, they thought I was... When I went to register at Maplewood for the 7th grade, they were sending my mother away down to Swab. They thought I was in 2nd grade. I was so humiliated. I was really humiliated.
All because you were tiny.
I was little.
You wear a shoe size 1 now?
Mm-hmm.
Is there an adult shoe?
No, I have them made in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, you have to have them specially made?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Little stobs. I hardly have any feet, among other things.
Oh, you crack me up. Brenda, you will come back again.
Oh, I'd love to.
I love your reaction to stories and the way you tell stories. And I wish you well.
Thank you. Thank you.